Thank you for giving us this opportunity again. And, you know, it's usually a rare privilege. And every time we have an opportunity to share with you like this. You know, for the last time we met, still another episode of The Man, The Message, and The Spirit Behind The Message. The last time we met, we discussed The Man and The Message. Can you do a little recap on that? Because we touched the mission, the vision, and then the corporate objective. You know, for probably someone that didn't watch the last episode, just help us with a little recap on that, and then we look at the spirit of the message.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Basil. It's always a privilege to share and to bring clarity as touching God's vision. I think three things we discussed was the mission, the vision, and the corporate objective, like you said. And like I said the last time, the mission is simple, twofold. Number one is to raise the people that have and possess an experiential knowledge of God. Not people who know about God, but God, people who know the person of God. Mm-hmm. And I said the implication of that is twofold. The first is that life and the essence of existence is predicated upon your knowledge of God. He said, this is life eternal, John 17:3, that you may know him, the only true God, and him whom he has sent. And number two, the fulfillment of purpose is also predicated upon knowledge. In Daniel 11:32, he said, they who do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. So the first aspect of our mission is to raise a people that know God experientially. Number two, I said, is to activate the powers of ordination in the hearts of men. That is to bring people back to the purpose of their existence. There is a move of God that happens to a man's soul, an encounter a man gets into that brings him into an understanding of why he's in existence. And not just having that understanding, but to be equipped to live it. He said in Jeremiah 1:5 to the prophet, before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. So these are two expressions that is very important, and we found that many believers are not walking in. Many believers don't know God by experience, and many believers don't know why they are here. So that's our mission. The second is the vision. The vision is threefold. I said to raise sons that do the will of their fathers, their father, heavenly father, priests that have an intimate walk with the Lord and bear his burdens, and then kings that have the power to advance the kingdom and to live and reign in life. And I said the reason for that is because that's the only premise by which a believer can walk in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. You don't walk in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ because you are walking in the office of the prophet. You don't walk in that fullness because you are walking in the office of the apostle. In fact, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, according to Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 to 13, is to equip the believer to come to that level, because every one of us has the zenith of our experience and work with the Lord. If you are not a son, if you are not a priest, and if you are not a prophet, you didn't maximize life, and you are not like Christ, because the fullness of Christ is sonship, priesthood, and kingship. And then talking about the core, corporate objective, I said they are the strategies the Lord has given to us in order to achieve the mission and the vision. And I said it's fourfold. Number one is to create a platform where people encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said the crisis of life can only be remedied when people meet Jesus. Paul said, talking about his ministry in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1, he said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, not because anything is wrong with eloquence. He said, but I choose not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. In Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whom Christ was evidently made manifest, crucified amongst you. So Paul revealed Jesus to a generation. When Jesus is revealed to a generation, that generation will walk in the experience of God and walk in the fullness of their ordination. The second is to bring people into the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the animator, the validator of all of the possibilities that are in Christ. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you cannot walk in the fullness of your calling and destiny. We are here to teach people, not to work with a pastor or work with a ministry. And there's nothing wrong with all of that. It's part of what we must do. But in addition to that, people who have a walk with the Holy Spirit. So there are strategies the Lord has taught us to activate that awareness of the Holy Spirit and a walk with Him. Number three, I said, to bring people into classical understanding of the Word of God and the principles of the kingdom. Remember, I shared with us, I said there are three layers of ministry. The first layer is to give people what God has to offer. That's what brings the crowd. That may not be God's priority, because when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, He gave bread to the crowd, but only three went with Him to the Mount of Gethsemane, right? But we said there are three layers of ministry to give people what God has to offer: the healing, the prophetic word, the impartations, they receive it. But much more than that, we must teach men doctrine. We must teach men the principles of the kingdom. That's where they come into maturity and they come into the place of dominion. So one thing we will do is to ensure that doctrine and the principles of the kingdom are taught in clarity and in simplicity so that everybody can walk in it. And then number four, I said we will advocate for the unity of the body of Christ so that we walk in love and come to the oneness of the Spirit. That is the greatest power in the universe. The power of the Godhead is the mystery of oneness. That's how God designed the world to exist. That's why you depend on even on nature. You breathe out carbon dioxide, the plant takes it in, the plant breathes out oxygen, you take it in, and then you easily coexist. So there is something about love, unity and oneness, and there is a power that is anchored there that makes us invincible. That's why the Bible said wherever two or three are gathered, there are great and mighty anointings that individuals carry, but it's nothing compared to a corporate anointing and a corporate ranking. So we as a people want to advocate for love and unity of the body. There is so much diversion in the body of Christ today because of obvious reasons. But by the help of the Holy Spirit and by the graces the Lord has given us, we will advocate for the unity of the body of Christ. And finally, I said our emphasis will remain again and again as a strategy on seeing sons, priests, and kings. That's what we did the last time. Thank you so much.
Wow. That's awesome. That literally captures in a whole the man and then the message that rightly touched the mission and then the vision and then the corporate objective. Now, when we talk about the spirit of the message. Now, the reason why this is so important for clarity is because many people want to understand the motive. Okay? Many people want to understand what is the essence of what the ministry represents. So, the spirit of the message. Can you talk to us more about the spirit of the message?
Thank you very much. Again, that's a very sensitive question. In summary, I can tell you that the spirit of the message the Lord has given to us as people is love. To bring the love of the Father to a generation, a dying generation, a perturbed generation, a generation that is being disenfranchised of their heritage in God, a generation drowning in sin and iniquity, a generation that have not realized the urgency in the heart of God and have not understood the strategy of hell to swallow them up. This is the burden we carry, that a people and a generation need to touch the love of God. Now, when you make contact with the love of God, there are many things it does to you. Number one, the love of God makes you realize the fatherhood of God. When you realize the fatherhood of God, everything that you've been robbed of, you will naturally win over them because you will know that God is there for you. You will know that God is not looking for an occasion to destroy you. You will know that God is the help that you are badly looking for. You will know that God is everything there is to be desired. That will bring you into an intimate walk with Jesus. So you will hear us emphasize intimacy. It is projecting from the love of the Father. Number two, when you know the love of the Father, you will realize that it's unreasonable for you to live for yourself and to live in iniquity. You will discover that the power of sin will break. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. He said, the love of Christ constrains us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, they that live no longer live for themselves, but they live for him that died for them. Now, you would think threatening people with hell will stop them from sinning. If you study Romans chapter 1 from verse 20 and 23, you see what the Bible says. It said these people know that God is angry, not just as those who sin, but they go ahead to sin and also make others to sin, knowing that the anger, the terror of God is against such people. So these guys are aware of the anger of God. They are aware of hell. But what truly convicts people is the love of God. The love of God can come in a very intense way. The love of God can come in a very mild way. The love of God can come in a very benevolent way. But it is the ministry carrying out his ministry of conviction. So our message is a message of love. A love that brings man back to his place of dignity and heritage with God. A love that gives man authority to live above sin. And a love that quickens faith in the heart of man to understand that in God, he possesses all things. Therefore, he has authority over the devil and over the systems of this world. Remember, the Bible says, faith worketh by love. It's in your understanding of love that you know that all things are yours. You are not trying to do something to earn something. You know God has given you all things already, so you are being reasonable by what you do. You are not hoping that at the end you will be saved. You know that the love of God has created an insurance for you. Therefore, you walk in righteousness as a testimony of your understanding of what has already been made available. You see, so it's all about the message of love. So we are bringing the love of God to our generation that is dying in pain, in bitterness, in insecurity, in sin, in poverty, in reproach, in, you know, everything that have denied us our honor, value, and nobility before God is restored through the message of love. And that's the message of Jesus Christ. So the spirit of the message is love.
Wow. You know, it's usually said that love, like you've rightly mentioned, it's usually said that love is a verb, it's an action word. Okay. I believe that in the ministry there have been expressions, there are expressions of the spirit of the message. So one of the things that we want that you throw more light into is the logo of the ministry, the colors of the ministry. How has this been able to capture, you know, their characters in the logo of the ministry? How has this been able to capture the spirit, the essence of the ministry?
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. That's another beautiful question. When you look at the logo of the ministry, you see two persons hugging themselves, both wearing crowns, and then both sitting on a book that's open. And then you see that the ambience is blue and gold. All of that has prophetic symbolism. The two persons you see in that logo is representative of Christ and his bride. And that's why I told you it's a message of love. It's a message of unity. It's a message of oneness. So Jesus said, I've not come into the world to judge the world, but I've come into the world that through me the world might be saved. So it is God embracing the world. It's God bringing the world back to his love so that they can experience it. So that's the body of Christ, that's the Word, and Jesus. So at one point is Jesus the Savior of a dying world. At another point is Jesus and his bride. It's all a message of love. Now you see the crowns on the head of the two persons in the logo. It shows restoration to dominion, restoration to kingship, restoration to nobility. Because when God created man, he created man a king to rule in the visible realm. Sin have denatured us. He said, for all have sinned, Romans 3:23, I'm falling short of the glory of God. But in Christ Jesus, we are restored to our place of honor and nobility. So the crowns you see on the logo is a testimony and a pointer to the fact that we as a people are raising kings that have been restored to the place of dominion in Christ Jesus. Now you see the people sitting on the word. What that means to mean is that our philosophy and ideology is purely crystallized from the Word of God. We are not teaching what we heard people say. We are not teaching the belief system of Africans. We are not teaching the morality of Africans, as beautiful as all of these are. Everything we teach is purely from the Word of God, because the Word of God is enough. You see, all scriptures are given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good works. As beautiful as normal advice, wisdom from the streets, counsels from our grandfathers are, we want to center everything we do around the Word of God, because we believe that God is raising us as gatekeepers in the last day. So we are sitting on the word as a testament that everything we do begins from, in, with, and ends with the word of God. And then you see the colors on the background. The gold color also speaks of nobility. It speaks of wealth. It speaks of power. That means we come to dominate this realm. We are not coming into this realm to hope to survive. We are not coming into this realm to contend with demons. We are coming into this realm as a more than conqueror generation, with an understanding of all Christ has done for us, and on the strength of the finished works of Christ, enter into this world victoriously and making victorious anyone that comes to our path. And then you see the blue color, which also speaks of God's presence, which also speaks of God's word and God's life. To tell you again and to preach a message of a people walking under the cloud of glory, a people walking in and with the word of the Lord, a people walking in the fullness of the counsel of God. So the whole idea behind the logo captures the essence of the ministry, which is, like I said the first time we spoke, intimacy, which represents priesthood, transformation, which represents sonship, and dominion, which represents kingship.
Well. I think we have been able to do a very thorough surgery on this subject of the spirit of the message, and I believe that anybody who have listened to you talk can, you know, it usually said certain things when it has to do with spiritual things. Some things are taught.
Yes.
Some things are caught.
Yes.
I want to believe that when it has to do with the subject of the spirit of the message, it's caught.
Very true.
The people who are obviously under the umbrella of that ministration, they're able to catch into the spirit of the message.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you for affording us this opportunity. And we don't take it for granted at all. We trust that we will explore other subjects around the man, the message, and the spirit of the message. Thank you so much, Apostle, and we look forward to having you again very soon. Thank you.